The IBA presents this podcast from the pages of Global Insight magazine. Brexit has prompted feverish speculation about which countries could leave the EU next. In Anti-EU Populism and Barriers to Exit, Jonathan Watson explores the major obstacles to Frexit, Nexit, or even Swexit. Would the last country to leave the EU please turn out the lights? That was the provocative headline in the British tabloid newspaper The Sun, which suggested other member states would follow the UK's example and leave the European Union. For many people, this is a preposterous idea. One opinion poll taken soon after the UK voted in favour of Brexit in June 2016 found Europeans were more supportive of the EU than ever. It also found a majority of people in Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and Poland were against holding a referendum on EU membership. And if a referendum was to be held in those five countries, all of them would choose to remain. But others are convinced there will be more departures from the EU. Billionaire investor George Soros wrote, "Brexit will open the floodgates for other anti-European forces within the Union." Indeed, no sooner was the UK outcome announced than France's National Front issued a call for Frexit, and Dutch populist Geert Wilders promoted Nexit. This theory will be tested soon. The Netherlands is due to hold parliamentary elections in March 2017. The French presidential election will follow in May. George Soros added, "With economic growth lagging and the refugee crisis out of control, the EU is on the verge of breakdown and is set to undergo an experience similar to that of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s. One EU-based lawyer who spoke to Global Insight magazine was dismissive of this. "I don't believe the EU as an institution will fall apart," he said. "It needs reform, and everyone understands that. My assumption is that EU member states will have the political will to reform the EU, and that it can and will exist in the future." Martin Schulz, the new president of the International Bar Association, adds, "I hope the election of President Trump in the US and the more selfish and protectionist US policy likely to follow will make Europeans realise that staying together gives us a better chance to deal with global challenges. A united Europe is stronger than the sum of its individual member states." A number of barriers would need to be overcome before other countries can leave the EU. Firstly, voters need to elect a leader who is committed to holding a referendum on EU membership. In the UK, that happened when the Conservative Party gained a majority in the House of Commons in the general election of May 2015. It looked like Austria would follow suit by electing the strongly anti-EU Norbert Hofer as president in December 2016. But he was defeated by retired economics professor Alexander van der Bellen. The prospect of an Austrian exit has receded for now. In the Netherlands, however, opposition to Brussels appears to be growing. A poll in February 2016 found that 53% of the Dutch wanted a referendum on EU membership. If that vote took place, Nexit would be a real possibility. The Dutch rejected the treaty establishing a constitution for Europe in 2005 and agree with many criticisms of the EU aired by the UK government. Jan Willem van Rooy, a partner at Dutch law firm Loyens & Loof and member of the IBA European Regional Forum, says one of the main barriers to Nexit is that referenda in the Netherlands are not binding on the government. A change as important as Nexit, even if it were to be approved by a referendum, would also have to command a majority in Parliament, he says. At the moment, the PVV, led by Geert Wilders, is the most popular party in opinion poll. The anti-EU party is expected to get as many as 35 seats in the House of Representatives when Dutch elections are held in March. However, as Jan Willem van Rooy explains, at least 75 seats are needed for a majority vote, and no other parties support Nexit. There is also a huge majority in favour of EU membership in the Senate, the other house of the Dutch Parliament. Even in the UK, the process of leaving the EU is not proving straightforward. The UK government was defeated in the courts on whether it could proceed with Brexit without a vote in Parliament. The UK Supreme Court decided that leaving the EU would impact domestic law and so ruled that MPs had to have a say. In France, the presidential race is on between National Front leader Marine Le Pen, centrist Emmanuel Macron, conservative François Fillon, and socialist candidate Benoît Hamon. Opinion polls suggest Le Pen will top the first round of the election in April, but then lose the runoff on the 7th of May. It's likely that supporters of all other political parties will turn out in force to keep her from winning. Even if Marine Le Pen were to become president and a referendum were to approve Frexit, constitutional change would still be required to take France out of the EU. While this is not impossible, it would be difficult. Article 89 of the French Constitution says any such change must first get the approval of the National Assembly and the Senate. The president could then put Frexit to a referendum or seek approval from a three-fifths majority in a combined sitting of both houses of parliament. This would be a big challenge for the National Front, which currently has only two members of parliament and two senators. The only other way to achieve Frexit would be to reform the constitution. Frexit is not going to happen, says Christine Blass-Engel, a partner at French law firm Fidal and member of the IBA European Regional Forum. France is very proud of its role in building the EU and is one of the leaders in Europe, she adds. All political parties apart from the National Front want France to stay in the EU. They believe we need a strong Europe in the age of globalisation. Blass-Engel believes Marine Le Pen does not have enough support to be elected. In regional elections in 2015, the National Front led the first round voting in 6 out of 12 mainland regions, but it failed to win any of them in the runoffs. Voters from other parties joined together to back the strongest alternative candidate. It's a similar situation in Sweden. The country's membership of the EU is laid down in its constitution. For Sweden to leave, or Swexit, the constitution would need to be changed. As Peder Hammarhjöld, senior partner at Hammarhjöld & Co., and a former member of the IBA Financial Crisis Task Force explains, a change of the Swedish constitution requires two votes of parliament and a general election to be held between each vote. Also, there is at present only a small minority of voters in Sweden who would want to leave the EU. Other countries seen as contenders to leave the EU include Greece. The country looked to have averted Grexit a few years ago, but it's becoming a serious prospect again. If Greece's embattled government fails to break the deadlock in increasingly difficult talks with creditors, the country's debt crisis could return with renewed vigour. Meanwhile, Italy exiting is now considered more likely, after former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi's plans for constitutional reform were rejected in a referendum in December 2016. Some also argue that the woes of Italy's banking sector could force the country out of the Eurozone and the EU. However, Article 75 of Italy's written constitution says the country cannot hold a referendum on anything related to international treaties. So, holding a vote on EU membership would require an anti-EU leader to gain power and then attempt to amend the constitution. Any change would have to be backed by two majority votes by both the House of Representatives and the Senate. If the Netherlands and/or France were to vote to leave the EU, the outlook for the bloc would be bleak. Sigmar Gabriel, the former leader of Germany's SPD party, has said, "After Brexit, if enemies of Europe get results in the Netherlands or France, then the largest civilization project of the 20th century, namely the European Union, could fall apart." If France were to vote to leave, on top of the UK vote, the EU would not have an answer to that, adds Jan Willem van Rooy of Loyens & Loof. However, if that did happen, Peder Hammarhjöld thinks the EU could carry on in some form. "I think it could be business as usual for the remaining countries," he says. "Or perhaps the other Eurozone countries could continue. There are lots of scenarios where the show could go on. It would just be on a smaller scale. But there does have to be a breaking point for the EU somewhere." Some observers are looking further ahead to a radically overhauled European system. The economist Thomas Piketty, for example, has proposed pooling at least some of the Eurozone countries' debts and creating a new parliament for the Eurozone composed of members drawn from the national parliaments. Other potential models for Europe have also been muted. Jan Willem van Rooy explains. In the Netherlands, there have been discussions about a Northern European Union that omits the net takers from the EU and is based on a strong currency, including Germany, the Scandinavian countries that use the euro, Belgium and Luxembourg, he says. You could also have a southern EU with a weaker currency, which might be better for the economies in that part of Europe. Whatever barriers exist to countries leaving the EU unilaterally, the bloc ultimately rests on the capacity of national governments to command the will of their citizens. As political scientist Chris Bickerton says, as anti-establishment feeling becomes a material force in contemporary European politics, so the representative capacities of governments decline. The EU may one day find that the ground it thought it was resting on has simply disappeared, and the EU with it. This podcast is based on a feature from the February-March 2017 edition of IBA Global Insight magazine. Articles in the edition also include Towering Ambitions. The UAE is investing in technology and innovation in a bid to diversify its economy away from oil. China spreads its wings. The recent acquisition in Australia of land twice the size of Belgium shows how China is expanding its trade and investments worldwide. And an interview with Paul Rawlinson, global chairman of law firm Baker McKenzie. To view the magazine and get more information, go to www.ibanet.org.